Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. This is Mordechai Platzker. It's a pleasure to be with you here tonight, to your enjoyment, and to all wonderful listeners and participants. Tonight's shiur is being delivered live from Passaic, my daughter's apartment and son-in-law. I want to dedicate the shiur to the success of our chayalim and chayalot, and that we should hear b'suros tovos, b'karav mamash. I wanted to preface this by saying that I was zochet to learn the first two Kedushas Levi's this past week with my son-in-law, so I want to share with you some thoughts and insights that we came across. The first one is really beautiful. It talks about eternal love. We say that, of course, Malachim sing Shirat Hashem, and all they do all day is sing Shirat Hashem. For us, it's a big nisayon because, as you know, we have so many different things that come up during the course of the day that distract us from the ultimate objective, which is to serve Hashem. But the Malachim, however, are constantly singing Shira. But at the moment of Kriyas Yamsuf, it says in the Pasuk, Vayisa Malach Elokim Lefnei Machaneh Yisrael, Vayamod Me'achareyem. So the Pasuk begins by telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through his eternal love, sent down Malachim to guide us on our path as we were leaving Mitzrayim and on our way toward Kriyas Yamsuf. And at the very moment that we were about to go into the Yam, it says, Vayamod Me'achareyem. So the question is, are they coming before us? Are they preceding us? Or are they in the back of us? So we know that we have a concept that says, Ki malach b'yitzav alach b'chol derechecha, that on Friday night, we welcome in the Malachim, that the Malachim are here to protect you on your way. And we feel it most acutely when we come home from shul on Friday night. We say, Shalom aleichem malachi asharis, malachi elyon, that we welcome in these Malachim that walked us home from shul. And that actually tells us that the Gemara speaks about the fact that a person should never walk alone because it's possible that there could be mazikin in the form of shadim. We don't really have those concepts today. But the Gemara has other examples of hashkivenu, one of the tefillos that we say in Maariv, which was a longer tefillah to enable those that were not so proficient in reading to catch up with others so that everyone should leave at the same time. Obviously, everyone should also come to shul at the same time so they could leave at the same time. But the concept is that a person should really never walk alone. And that's why we have the concept of Vayivasa Yaakov Levado. And Yaakov went alone. He went back to get the Pachim Ketanim, and along came the Sar Shel Esav and fought with Yaakov the entire night. So we see that Kli Yakar and other Mefarshim bring down that had Yaakov taken Shimon and Levi, or perhaps Yehuda or Yisachar or any one of the children with him, to escort him along the way on his journey back to get these small Pachim Ketanim, then perhaps the Sar Shel Esav would not have had the gall to attack Yaakov. So we learn a valuable message. Here, Klal Yisrael was united in its objective to leave, and before it saw a Yam, and behind it saw a marauding Egyptian army, Markavos Paro, and we see that there were different forms of the army. That there was the Mivchar Shalishav, those were the chariots that had three on each chariot. And then the Markavos Paro, the wagons, the chariots of Paro, they may have had six on each chariot. There's differences in numbers, differences in rank, differences in legions, brigades, commands. It all just spells a really tense situation. And here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I always have the Malachim guiding you along the way. And they are always the ones that come before you. But at this very moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated his tremendous chiba, his tremendous love for the Jewish people, and said, you know what? I'm going to take the Malachim and move them in the back and put you, Klal Yisrael, up front. So I think that this messaging that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us at that precise moment has such a powerful effect on the Jewish people. And in a way, it demonstrated that it's like a parent that has to, in the future, chastise a child, that it's painful for a parent to tell a child, you can't do this and you can't do that. But it also comes from a great degree of love, that if you don't tell the child that you can't do this and you can't do that, then the child will live precariously and get themselves into danger. And that's the reason why sometimes you need to have a little bit of tough love. But in this particular instance, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're my children, and I want to show how much I love you, so I want you to go first. And you will lead, and guess who will follow you? The Malachim. And that really always so acutely resonates with me because when Klal Yisrael did err and did not make correct decisions, We always remember the words that Moshe Rabbeinu's, defended the Jewish people and the Nevi'im that followed by saying, they're just a small, they're just a nation starting out. And when people start out sometimes on a journey, as they say, kolas kashas, all beginnings are challenging. All beginnings have their difficulties. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the end game and knows that you have to just keep pushing forward and move ahead. And that's where you're going to see success. As the Torah says, Matitzak Elai, why are you davening to me now? Now's not the time for the long tefillos or the short tefillos. Debe b'nei Yisrael b'yiso, now's the time for you to act and to commit to action. And the word ma, interestingly enough, is the mem is a long tefillah, which is Hashem, Hashem, karachum, v'chanun, erach, apayim, rav chesed, v'emes. This is the longest tefillah that they say. If you count them up, there's 39 words in that little snippet of tachanun, which is considered the longer tefillah. The hey in the ma is Mem hey, the hey is Kelna Rafan Allah, which is Moshe's tefillah on behalf of his sister Miriam, who was stricken with Tsaras after speaking Lashon Hara. So Kelna Rafan Allah is what the Sfarim say in Shul on Shabbos, and Ashkenazim say Shabbos Yimeluzug, Urufur Krav Alavo. That's the way that Ashkenazim deal with it. But the long tefillah, the short tefillah, Hashem says, this is not the time right now for us to offer tefillahs. Now's the time for all of us to commit to action. And I think that that's also something very powerful. It's the first time, and I think the only time in the whole Torah where you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, it's okay. I need you guys to do something tremendous. I think there's a lot to be said about that as well. The next thing I want to just talk about is the second Kedushas Levi, which says that the Yam did not want to split. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the Yam and he says that you should split. You should split in the name of Hashem. And the Yam says, Ben Amram, ani gadol mimecha. Son of Amram, I'm greater than you. It almost reminds me of Superman 1, where he says, like, Jor-El, It's like, Ben Amram. I don't know why I think about that. But the idea is that you have the Yam that was created, Baruch Kadim Aza, with a strong easterly wind. And perhaps that this easterly wind could also be read as Baruch Kadim Aza, that the Yam has Azuz Panim, that the Yam has a certain form of arrogance. Because in the order of creation, the Yam actually preceded Moshe Rabbeinu. So maybe there's what to be said. But I like actually the discussion that the Aruch Chaim brings down. And I think this is a very powerful one that I don't see many people discussing. And that is that the Yam had an argument and said, wait a minute, death never occurred at sea. Death occurred on land as a result of the Eitz Hadas. So why are you bringing your dead into my realm? The Yam did not want to be Sovel Mason. And to this very day, the Yam always, pushes out Mason. No one should ever know from such a thing. So the Yam's Teva is to push away, push out the Mason and say, this has no place for me. And then, when you find Neba, a situation like that, that's when you know that the Yam said enough. But the Yam was also conflicted because the Yam said, wait a minute, I went ahead and I went against my nature. Why would I go against my nature? So there are a couple of reasons. One is that they threw our babies into water, so therefore that's the reason why they were stricken with water. But the other second reason is the Kliyakar, Hayam Rav Ayanos, Marav Ayanos, Aronos Ayosef. This is actually the Medrash Rabbah. Medrash Rabbah says, and Rabbi Tanner says on top of this, that since Yosef went against his Teva and not sleeping with Eishes Potipharah, so too the Yam had to go against its Teva and split. And then you have the Kliyakar, which brings down the explanation that the punishment for infidelity is chenek, and the Yam through asphyxiation is another form of that. And so therefore, that's the reason why they were punished mida keneged mida, because in the very same order that Klal Yisrael practiced fidelity, the Egyptians practiced infidelity, and that's the reason why they were swept away in the very same order. So there's a couple of reasons you keep on going down the line of chain of command. But what I like to drive home is the fact that after the Yam split, Klal Yisrael began to sing Shira as they exited. And at that very moment, the Yam didn't know what to do. Here the Yam went ahead and split, went against its Teva, and really put up a fight that it didn't want to. Now that it's split and it listens to Klal Yisrael singing Shira, it made such a powerful impression that if you look closely at the words, it almost appears as though there was massive racism happening all over again. And I remember hearing a share, I believe, from Rabbi David Foreman about something related to this, that basically the whole mechanism of the creation itself was replicated. Why? Because the Yam didn't want to go back. The Yam wanted to remain split and said, listen, if Klai Yisrael is singing Shira, you know, this is such a powerful moment, maybe I should stay split, if that's what gives Shevach to Hashem. So the Yam learned its lesson. By complaining and not wanting to split, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you want to play this game, you forget who's in control, then I'm going to take your H2O compound and turn it into H2 and O2. I'm going to create the separations of these gases of hydrogen and oxygen. And that's why it says, that they went on dry land. It wasn't sleet, it wasn't mud, it wasn't snow, it wasn't anything related to the water. It was dry land. And that's to demonstrate the koch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Yam, which demonstrated a certain form of Asas Panim. But now that Klai Yisrael singing Shira, the Yam actually was so conflicted that it wanted to stay still. And then Hashem says, I'm going to break you once more. And then the Yam learned its lesson. When the Yam restored its waters and devoured the Egyptians, and it reminds me, because we're getting awfully close to Pesach when we start talking about B'Shalach, we're getting very, really close on Bereshit to B'Shalach. It's been a while. But I think about Bereshit all the time, actually, because that's when the whole situation happened on October 7th. And I seem to be going back and thinking about how much time has passed. So we're davening for the Hatufim. We're davening for the hostages. And hopefully they should be found quickly and should be returned safely to their families and loved ones. We're davening and learning that our Chayalim and Chayalot, that we should hear Besuras Tovos and all the special missions that they are endeavoring, and they should find success. And we're davening that Klai Yisrael, which really needs the continued unity that we've been able to demonstrate all along these many weeks, should continue steadfast, and that we should reduce all forms of, you know, disengagement and just see the benefit in others. And God willing, Be'ezrat Hashem, we should sing Shira at the right time, anytime that we need to. We should always be able to feel comfortable reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to connecting with Him. And in that regard, I want to wish everyone a Shavuot Tov and a wonderful, successful week as we march along into the next week, which is Kabbalah Satorah. We should be able to take upon ourselves a little bit of that messaging, internalize it, and grow with it as well. So thank you so much for joining, and have a wonderful day.